I was planning my lesson for this evening. I kept trying to find scripture on my own, but it seems like every time I would, my friends would call me or get distracted by the TV. It just seems to fit so well since I'm speaking tonight on distractions. We all get distracted, don't we? I don't know if it's chores for some of you, whether you're parents tell them to do them, or your spouse. Could be homework. Some people take tests, and you just get so distracted. Maybe it's a deadline at work that you're distracted from all else in your life as you focus on that deadline. Or maybe you're distracted from the deadline, and you're late. Anyway, it's funny how we get distracted. It's so easy. For me, I kind of like to use working out as my analogy because that's something I'm really interested in. And it seems like whenever I'm exercising, I know the proper form, I know my rest time, I know normally what I'm supposed to do, but I still get distracted because it's just the way our mind works. It's so easy to lose focus, to lose sight of something. But it becomes more of a problem when we get distracted from God. And yet again, unfortunately, it's just so easy to do. My mom will tell you, I'm the first person to get distracted. She'll tell me to do something, and it takes forever. You may have noticed, Eddie gave me a call on my way here. He said, Cameron, I was just calling you because you were late. But my mom would have known that I'd be late because I was asked to do something. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Luke 12, verse 35. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, it says. Ready for service with our lamps burning. Now, if we have God always foremost in our minds, are we not then ready for service? But I wonder if we're distracted by other things in our lives, are we still ready for service? I know we come to church every Sunday, morning and night for some, Wednesday night for others, and we get distracted. I don't know about all of you, but I certainly do. Sometimes it's during communion, during prayer, maybe during the sermon. Sorry, Dave. But it's so easy for our minds to wander. I'm going to flip to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I don't know about the rest of you. That doesn't always hold true for me. Sometimes I find myself giggling at something somebody said. Maybe I noticed something. Maybe even though we're told to turn our phones off, maybe I'm distracted by my phone. But even during communion, my mind is not always set on what we're asked to have our minds set on. During communion, it states very clearly, we do this in remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice. And that's what we're thinking about. That's why we do it on a regular basis. But sometimes we find ourselves distracted. I'm going to turn to Romans 8, verses 5 through 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's word, God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Please turn with me to Matthew 7, verse 21, if you have your Bible. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So if we have our minds set on God, his righteousness will be given to us. But when our minds are not set on God, then we fall for the sinful nature. It's so easy to get distracted here in church or in communion or doing anything else. At YBC last year, I was counselor for the first time. And even though I was there for God, and with all those kids, they were there for God also, I found myself distracted when supervising them. I found myself worrying about, you know, who's doing this, who's doing what. And sometimes you need to take a step back and remember, what are we really here for? But as easy as it is to get distracted in church, it's just as easy, if not easier, to get distracted from God outside of church. And just like with chores, with homework, with all the other things going on in our lives, we can get distracted from God. When I was in high school, I had still been coming to this congregation for a few years, but I was on the wrestling team. And the wrestling team demanded a lot of my time. And I found myself going to church less often. I was here maybe once every other week, maybe sometimes less. I even, at one point, skipped going to YBC, which I loved going to, because I had wrestling camp that conflicted with the times. And I realized after I got out of high school, after I was done with wrestling, which took such a priority in my life, that I had put that above God. But it didn't hit me like that at first. It wasn't a sudden realization that I'm doing this. It kind of came slowly. So some distractions, in fact, most distractions, I would argue that we don't notice. Please turn with me to 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Please turn with me to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Again, here it is. Not coming from someone else, but here in the Bible, we're told exactly what to have our mind set on. Not worldly desires, as sometimes we find ourselves thinking about, but always our foremost thought should be God. I know it can be difficult. Sometimes the way I think of it is, it's like we're walking on our path to God, and in life, it's like all these things happening around us, and it's so hard not to look and get distracted. And it's going to happen, but that's why we come to church, to set our priorities and our minds on what is right and what He has set for us. If you will, turn with me, please, to Galatians 5, verses 16 through 17. And afterwards, I will read Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. That's Galatians 5, 16 through 17, and 6, 7 through 10. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those belonging to the family of believers. And here it is again. The Bible tells us that when we do not have God foremost in our thoughts, our sinful nature takes over. It says that phrase again and again in the Bible. If you look at those of us who in the world are unbelievers, many of them, you look at them and you say, how can they do that? How can they do this? How can a person be like that? But it's because they don't have God in their lives. When baptized into Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And by living by the Spirit, then can you seek His righteousness. Turn with me, please, to Philippians 4, verse 20. It's Philippians 4, verse 20. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now turn with me, please, to Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Here it is. That promise that by living the way God intended us, without being distracted by worldly desires or things that we find important, we're told right here what's really important. And by bringing ourselves back to God, it's the only way we can seek His righteousness and receive it in turn. Before we sing this next song, I'd like to read 1 John verses 1, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. But if you've not been baptized into Christ, if you notice that Maybe you get distracted by worldly desires and you need help. I would urge you to use this time to come forward. Once again, that's 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin.
Have thine own.